momentarily.
I'm here. If you've ever played the game called I'm thinking about a number between 1 and 10, it's not hard to guess the number, right?
Right.
Well, I'm working on a number between 1 and 100,000, and three times I happen to duplicate a similar number. So here we go. Welcome to all of you. This is the Media Bits Power Hour. We're delighted that you're here. It just took a slight second longer to set the and capture our call here today. For those of you that are not able to join us, will be listening to us after. But again, myself and Jed have been hosting these calls since 2005. We love doing it. We have a deep, deep passion for helping those in the publishing sector, whether you're a free publication, trade publication, newspaper, magazine, paid, free, direct mail. All of that falls under the same umbrella that you have a story to tell, that you have ads to drive, that you have a publication that you're proud of, and that you have an electronic web component as well. Make no mistake that we are hip to the hop on that side of the house, and frankly, if you've looked at the agenda of our calls over the last 12 and 24 months, we've been talking more about your search engine optimization, your web utilization, bundling the packages together, how all of that works. So we're staying very current with those emerging trends as well. Jed, how about some opening words about you and MediaBits and the wonderful work you do? And I'll say a few opening words, and then we'll dive right into our meeting here today.
Great. Well, as always, I want to, you know, first and foremost point out Ernest Talents. You know, he really is the one who brings the majority of the knowledge to these calls, and we're honored to be able to work with him on these. MediaBids is a print advertising marketplace. We help you find advertisers that you otherwise would not have known existed. It's a good way to increase your revenue and to try to sell ads in a way that requires no overhead and no manpower, or very, very little manpower. If you have questions or would like to learn more about it, please feel free to contact us. Our contact information will be on the follow-up email, or you can always find out our information at mediabits.com. Thanks again for joining us.
And, Jed, when you said manpower, I'm going to shape that to people power,
right?
Because you have lots of people rocking for lots of your clients, right?
Right.
Jed, you also gave a wonderful presentation in the last 30 days, yes?
Well, I don't know how wonderful it was, but I gave a presentation to the Suburban Newspaper Association in Florida. They had a conference, and I spoke to them about response-based advertising in print, some of the stuff that we've done, and just some of the issues surrounding it, and how it can really sort of help publications prove how viable they can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I must tell you that I had a couple of clients that were in that audience, and they thought you were fantastic, and you provided a lot of information. So thank you, Jed, for all you do for the industry to help them realize the possibilities.
At least you didn't say to the industry.
two and four. As all of you can hear, Jed and I have done this for a long time. We're like frickin' frack or muck and mire, you know. Seriously, we have a lot of fun on these calls, and our intention is to share the insight that we have. But, of course, on a more serious and business note, we want you to win and we want you to succeed. So my name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I have a wonderful team around the world that serves more than 700 publishing clients around the world. We help publications with their sales coaching and training, succeeding, competing more aggressively in the marketplace. We help them with their online strategies, their search engine optimization, and their web revenue strategies. We have a recruiting division, which means we help our clients find and select a great and wonderful talented people for their team, including pre-hire testing that we do before our clients make hiring decisions. We also help our clients buy and sell publications. And more recently, we also do a lot of training and work around LinkedIn. You'll be hearing more about that. There's more than 60 million users on LinkedIn. It's the number one business networking site, and we are going to be launching a 15-part LinkedIn sales coaching and training program, so you'll hear more about the opportunity to participate in that. So what we want to cover today is the topic of distribution and circulation sales success. Distribution and circulation, and we're wrapping both sides because we realize that for some of you, you have free distribution, that's one profile. For others of you, you have controlled circulation. For example, you might direct mail it to target audiences or business to business or to a very unique niche and niche profile. And for others, we have the paid side. So we have a variety of participants on this call, and we have a very large turnout. So we're going to be wrapping this conversation on both sides of that house. We're going to talk about your distribution and circulation story, how to know your competitors better than your own. We're going to talk about 8 keys for building a strong distribution and circulation presentation. And we're going to also talk about, a little later, selling your distribution and circulation story, what matters most. Again, to clarify, if you'll send any real-time questions to us, we'll tuck them in through the course of our meeting. And at the top of the hour, we'll pause the formal portion and hang out a little bit with you informally if you have some follow-through questions, okay? So for those of you that have participated in those can be very lively, and that might last for 5 or 10 or even as much as 15 minutes before Jed and I head into our next meetings. So, Jed, we're going to work on this first part, know your competitor's distribution and circulation story better than your own. So big picture, why is this so important that we know what's happening with our competitors even more than our own, Jed?
Well, you know, obviously it translates into our ability to sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it translates into our ability to tell our story to advertisers.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to know what we're competing against, right? When you know, for example, when we're at a presentation and somebody says your price is too high, compared to what? Tell me why. What is that based on? And the same rules apply with distribution and circulation. So this is the first key point for all of you to write down, and that is this. Those who are the most passionate about their distribution and circulation, the most, are the most successful salespeople. Okay? The most passion, or the more passion you have, framed another way, for your distribution and circulation, the more successful you'll be on the sales side. So if you've sort of, you know, wondered what goes on in that distribution department or on your circulation team, if you kind of wondered the reports they're looking at, if you've ever wondered what it would look like to go run a distribution and delivery day, if you've ever wondered what the warehouse looks like, if you've ever wondered, the software that they use to drive all the information if you're on the paid side, go get close. Go put on your cowboy boots and your blue jeans and go run a delivery day. And I mean that. I've never, ever worked with a advertising sales team, including my own, more than 60 at one time, that did not put on their blue jeans and go work. Okay? You need to see it, taste it, and feel it. And if you've been with your company 5 or 10 years, it doesn't matter. Go out and see what's happening on that side of the house. Okay? And if you have an internal team, okay, then go get close to what they do. Go ask permission from the owner of your company or the president of your company or your direct report and tell them that you want to spend more time with your distribution and circulation team. Makes sense, right, Jed?
Yep, absolutely. It's critical.
I can tell you my early publication days, my gosh, I can remember picking up publications directly from the printer. Driving the boards, literally, I'm going to date myself, driving the boards out. Why? Because they were waxed on, if you know what
right.
I'm saying, in the 80s. I've seen every transformation over the last 25 years.
Right.
So the point is, go out and experience it. Here are some of the key things that you want to know, though, about your competitors. Number one, you positively and absolutely want their media kits. Okay? In many cases, they're at their website. In some cases, a competitor might forward it to you. In other cases, you might pick one up at a trade show. Quite honestly, they have yours as well. It would be foolhardy and foolish to believe that they don't have yours. In fact, conversely, if they have yours and you don't have theirs, that's a pretty serious liability because they know how you're presenting and you don't know how they are. So take a look across the bow. Think about every single competitor. Make a list of them and ask yourself, if within 10 feet of where you're standing right now, that you can reach the media kit of every single competitor. I was in Los Angeles in the 90s. I had 14 competitors. We had 3-ring binders broken out for every single media kit, every single bit of information about every single competitor, including their distribution and circulation. That was the hub and the pulse. Because, you see, let's think through this for just a second. Jed and I can produce 14-karat gold pages and call that our publication. It would be the single most expensive, 50-page publication in the world. But if it didn't go to anybody, it's worth nothing. Think about the other side of that, the promise that you make to your advertisers that you're actually going to go out and deliver or circulate or direct mail your publication. Think about the promise that we make on the other side. Saying it's one thing, doing it's another. And you'll hear more as we work through our call today as we talk about what those distinctions are. Very important. Jed, we also know at MediaBids, right, is another resource, correct?
Right. We have information on thousands of publications. So, and our information is a little bit different. Doesn't get into as much detail as the average media kit, but it's a good place to start.
Perfect. So that might be a place that you begin your research, and that might be one of your first action steps as we finish our call. So know how they're presenting. Look to see how specific it is. Look to see how meaty it is. Look to see the pie charts they use, the graphs that they use, the explanations of exclusives. Look to see the photos. I'm talking about pour over it, backward and forward. Set it aside. Go to the next competitor, backward and forward. Pull out your own. Bring your media kit home to your husband or wife or your best friend or your mother or father and lay out yours. Just the part about distribution and circulation, and ask them what makes more sense. What visuals are more helpful? Okay. Another way to get information about distribution and circulation come in the way of proposals. Okay. Now I can remember giving proposals. I went in and literally physically delivered them, and in many cases, my advertiser would say, or that prospect would say, "Wow, you're here at 10 o'clock. You'll never guess who was here at 9 o'clock." Mary Rose, your competitor. And, of course, I would lean over and say, "Oh, come on, you're not buying anything from Mary Rose. Did she give you a proposal?" "Yes, she did. It's right here." "Yes, she did. It's right here." I'd be like, "I sure would like a copy of that." And in some cases, I got it. In some cases, I didn't, okay? It never hurts to ask. In today's world, you still can get it the same way. And, of course, we know the other way is it can be forwarded by email. Okay, and that's the other piece to recognize, that, again, your proposals that have gone to advertisers or prospective advertisers, it is possible that somebody went click, send, and forward. Okay, so this is about know your competitor. Our first point here is you have to know your competitor. Don't be consumed about who knows what about you. Be consumed that you have to know something about every one of your competitors. Another way to get information about a company's circulation or distribution comes from interviewing their team members. I can tell you that in all my corporate days, I never, ever declined to interview a competitor. If they sent me a resume, I took them to the nicest places for lunch, and I carved out 2 hours, and I spent whatever it took and whatever time it took settle in, interview them, and frankly, in some cases, they came on to join my team. Not in all cases, but I use that as an opportunity, Jed, to engage a competitor and learn more.
Right.
Makes sense, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. The other piece is I listened closely to the marketplace. For example, if I knew where a competitor was warehousing their publications, I might drift by in the afternoon just to see what's cooking. Or, for example, on the circulation side, if you have a common circulation company, well, news kind of travels around a little bit, and, you know, words like, "Yeah, well, doesn't look like Mary Rose is going to be doing much more biz," you hear on a phone call, person, and you say to that person, "What do you mean?" "Well, they're no longer circulating with our company, or they're no longer printing at our facility." So listen to team members that are leaving companies. Look for any news from printers. Look for any news from similar circulation companies where you might have, whether you're on the paid side or on the free side. For those of you that have your free publications distributed through the ADC racks, for example, or the Distributech racks, those distribution managers know everything about everybody. Okay? Want a nice tip to know what's going on? Go buy them a nice lunch and wait to see what you glean and learn in a marketplace. Okay? So good things happen when we take our time. Good things happen when we pay attention to what's happening in our competitive space. And these strategies, by the way, we're focused today just on distribution and circulation. But these strategies also equate to the sales side as well. Today, it's about distribution and circulation, but these waterfall very nicely back and forth. Let me pause again. We'll take your questions. Just send them to Ernest at powerhour.com or just hit reply to the confirmation that, that got you here. I have a couple of notes that we're also going to weave in here, and we'll tuck those in here in just a minute. Another way to learn about competition is simply to ask your advertisers when and where appropriate. Okay, one of the easiest ways to do that is when you know that a competitor has lost a salesperson. The easiest time. Gosh, Jed, I know you've been advertising in that horse publication for years, and I know they're a good group. You know, we both want your biz, but hey, what happened to Mary Rose? She's no longer there.
Right.
Okay, so easy, so natural. Okay, and you might pause and say, well, she wasn't happy. She wasn't getting a paycheck. Times are tight for Mary Rose and the horse publication. Or Mary's no longer there because they weren't printing everything that was promised. Or Mary's no longer there because their circulation manager left and there was an issue with their software or a discrepancy with their data files. Okay, you can just imagine what fill in the blank sort of looks like. Okay? Jed, anything else to mention related to these strategies about knowing our competitors and how this configures?
No, I think, you brought up some good techniques. I mean, there's so much available online now, whether it's through associations or even audit bureaus. You know, you can for free subscribe to their information. So, in most cases, unless your competitor is really a very, very specific niche product, you should be able to get about as much information as you can handle on their distribution.
Yep, absolutely. Let's tuck in three questions here, Jed, that have just come in. Number one, we have a question from Paul who asks, is it necessary to have a distribution program? Paul, I believe you're asking for a distribution software program, and the short answer is yes. There are a number of solutions. In fact, I can recommend a group who is on the East Coast who works with a number of our publishing clients who does a wonderful job, especially for your kind of publication. So if you'd like just to email me as a follow-up, that would be great. But bottom line is, no matter what we're doing with distribution or circulation, there are plenty of solutions. And the key piece is, number one, you get the efficiency, but number two, more importantly, you get the resource for your sales team, okay? You've got to provide that kind of support for your sales team. So I know that, when I began in the 80s and through the 90s in publications, that was kind of a proprietary tool. It was expensive to create. I know only the biggest publications really could afford to do that. Those days are over. I mean, there's plenty of tools and plenty of options, Paul. So if that answers your question, great. If you have a follow-through question, send me another email, and we'll tuck that in. I've got a question here from Roselle, who's in New York. By the way, Paul was in California. Roselle is in New York and says, how do we stress the online version of our publication? Roselle, I'm going to answer it from the point of view of point number one. Clearly, you want to know what your competitors are doing with their website, and you want to not only surf it, but you want to use Google Alerts to keep track of what's going on. If I had six competitors in my marketplace, I would be tracking the six websites, the six URLs of the websites of my competitors. I would then be tracking the six names in quotes. I'd be tracking those as well to watch to see what's going on there. And then I would use some of the more sophisticated search engine tools, for example, Alexa, and there's some other ones that we use behind the scenes to study the links and the number of visitors and the velocity of what's going on. You're looking for everything. And then, Roselle, you're even looking for announcements, things like, at the upcoming horse show, our publication will be the only one that's circulated there or the only one provided there. That kind of news, as it hits your competitor websites, you want to track and watch what happens there. That news will hit a lot faster than the print publication. If it were me, I would start my day. Jed, I don't know about you, about a cup of coffee, orange juice. I start with a little green tea in the morning, and I would set up the favorites. If I were advising all of you that are joining us, set up the favorites of every one of my competitors, and I'd sip my morning coffee, green tea, orange juice, choose your vice, And I'd click on every single competitor, and I'd spend 3 to 5 minutes on each competitor just to say hello, just to get rocking and pay attention. Okay? Jed, do you have any morning routines like that in the way you kick off your day?
I use Google Alerts a lot. Those are obviously a great tool. We get a lot of updates from different associations and audit bureaus about, you know, changes in circulation and changes in the publication landscape, and so I usually like to look at those.
Mm-hmm.
But it never quite works out where I'm able to sit there for 5 minutes with my feet up. But
well, even if you only had 2 minutes, and for those of you that have very full and busy days, knowing your competitors is absolutely key. And even if it's a few minutes in the morning, or maybe it's the end of the day, or maybe it's lunchtime and you grab your sandwich and you go surf your competitors, pay attention. I launch my browser in the morning. All my favorites are down the left-hand side, and I work my way right through step by step by step in the span of somewhere between 15 to 30 minutes at the beginning of each day, and it's my version of let me see the view of the world, let me look at the dashboard. Typically, I like to get up early. Jed, you know that I get up at dark early, as in 3:30 in the morning. And then on Saturday mornings, I like to get up and do a lot of the studying sort of at 30,000 feet of my Google alerts and see what's come in related to that. Okay? There was one more question that came in from Janie in Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. My son is going to school there. How great. And you ask about... if you're not audited but have a mixture of paid and unpaid subscribers, how important is it to get audited, and how will you go about it? And I'm going to, again, Janie, address this from the perspective of know your competition. In some sectors, it is mandatory to be audited, okay? And if you're not, it's actually a liability. In other sectors, if nobody is and you are, it's your head and shoulders. This is, again, back to know your competition, and there's a wealth of data that can come from that side. So this is about any time I begin working with a publication, no matter where they are. I work with about 700 publications in 8 time zones around the world, and we start talking about distribution and circulation and kind of peeling the onion back, and I always want to see the competitive publications. I want to see the competitive websites, and we go right down this path. Are they audited? Are they not? You know, who is in the sector? Who's not? Is it a competitive advantage or not? How is all of that configured? So you're always looking to understand what the lay of the land is, and really it's through the eyes of the advertisers and what they're demanding and requiring. Jed, anything you want to add related to this auditing component here?
Well, this is a little bit off the subject, but I wanted to at some point bring to everyone's attention that the recent news about ABC endorsing a sort of a new version of how they're going to do audits, where they're going to start taking into account what they call print-digital hybrid models, e-editions. So they're trying to integrate some of the new ways that publications are using to interact with their readers. So it's worth taking a look at. It's sort of interesting. And you can look at it right on the Newspaper Association of America, NAA.org, is their website, and it's something which could impact people on this call in two reasons. I mean, it could impact them in the sense that it changes their circulation numbers, but maybe more likely, it's even going to impact the people you're competing against. If you compete with a daily newspaper, for example, that is audited by ABC, it'd be interesting for you to sort of see how they're going to start measuring this stuff, because I think it will, from my estimation, kind of inflate things a little bit.
Okay, perfect.
Just what I've read.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So, and if you'd like any additional information on that, just send a follow-up note to our call, and we'd be happy to point you in the right direction, okay? We're always staying current with emerging trends. So, Janie, I'm hoping that was helpful. Paul, I hope that was helpful. and Roselle as well. If you have any additional follow-through questions, ping us an email, and we'll continue to work and weave them in.
You know, but, one thing, yeah? Sorry, Ernest, yeah. one thing to add to that, I don't know, we didn't really address it, but if you're looking for sort of an inexpensive way to get an audit, a lot of times associations, newspaper or magazine associations or organizations have great pricing on that stuff. So even if you're not a member of, you know, whatever type of niche association serves your type of publication, I mean, that might be a reason to become a member, or at least to consider it, because I know that in a lot of cases it's sort of part of the package.
Okay, perfect. Let's move to the second part of our call. There's three parts that we're going to cover. Point number two, what are the 8 keys for giving a strong distribution and circulation presentation? So, again, whether your publication is paid CERC, controlled CERC, or free distribution, there are pros and cons, strengths and weaknesses to that, but there's a real reoccurring theme related to this, okay? So, number one, no matter what the configuration is of how your readers get or read your publication, we have to know the demographics. We have to know about our readers, okay? And we can do that in a number of ways, but the very easiest is just to survey our readers. We can survey them online. We can survey them in print. We can have contests that give them incentives to do that. We can survey them in person when we see them at industry shows or events where we're there establishing our presence. There's a number of ways to survey them and to gather that data. We could hire outside firms that will do focus groups and surveys. Obviously, the more expensive path, okay? But given how much revenue you're chasing or how much revenue you're working with, all of those options are possible. The key piece is that you have to know who your publication is reaching. So this isn't a conversation about how you get the publication to them. The question is, what do you know about them? And how can you convey that in a way that is meaningful? So, for example, if you're working, you know, in, again, using this horse example, and you know that on average your readers buy fencing for their horses twice a year, and the average is $5,000, and you can multiply that times the number of readers, you get an aggregate number. And if you're going out to sell advertising to a fencing advertiser for horses, and you can say on average our clients or our readers spend an average of $25 million a year in fencing, you've got the attention. You've got the attention of that advertiser, okay? Or if you know that those horse owners live in a geographical area in California or Kentucky or Florida, wherever that might be, and you can describe geographically where they live and add that overlay because you're talking to a fencing company in Florida, specifically Ocala, Florida, where there's lots of horse farms. I have a cousin who's a jockey, and they do a lot of raising of horses in Ocala. So those are the kinds of things. You're looking to know a lot about your readers and, quite honestly, more about your readers than your competitors. Okay? And how do you know what your competitors know? Because you're looking at their media kit. You've seen their media kit. You've seen their website. You understand, you've seen their proposals, and all of that ties in. The second point, let's make certain that we're clear, and this seems like an obvious one, related to frequency. Frequencies change with publications. By the way, changing frequencies is an indicator, something that went from a monthly to a quarterly. Something went from a quarterly to twice a year tells you something. The biggest challenge we find here is we have some that are monthly, 12 times a year, and some that are every 4 weeks. I was speaking to a publisher who's been around for about 3 decades on the West Coast yesterday, and she was telling me she had called and was wanting to know about the work I do, and we're going right down the path, and I said, I can see your frequency is monthly. She said, let me correct you. It's every 4 weeks. I said, well, that's interesting. I looked at your website, and it wasn't clear. She goes, well, I squeeze an extra one in. It's every 4 weeks. I'm like, okay, I got it. That's fine. That's part of your strategy. But let me just say the words. If you were calculating cost per thousand, their CPM, and you're calculating the cost of a full page, you may need to make certain that you're dividing that by 13, not 12, or vice versa. So So make certain you know the frequency and watch that closely, which dovetails into the next point. What is the CPM? What is the cost per thousand of the competitors that you're competing with? Now, I have to say, I've been around publications, Jed, like you, for a couple of decades. I ask this question almost within the first 5 or 10 minutes when I speak to a potential new publishing client who wants to engage me. I say, da-da-da, who are you competing with, ba-ba-ba, what's your frequency? Tell me on a full page, what's your CPM? And I get this long pause. The CPM, your cost per thousand, is the currency. And the language that advertisers speak, you have to know that, really fluid. Let me take that a step further. I was working with a group several years ago in Pennsylvania, and we were talking about their publication being 100% focused on homeowners improvement, and we calculated their cost per thousand. I'm going to just do this from memory, $30. It was something like that. And they said, yeah, but we really have a big competitor. I said, okay, who are they? And blah, blah, blah. What's their cost per thousand? Well, it's $22. You know, we're having a tough time. You were 30, they're at 22. I said, yeah, but how many pages are they? They're 100. Well, how many pages are dedicated to home improvement? They said 10. I said, that's 10%. That means their cost per thousand is not $22. It's 10 times that. Their cost per thousand to reach homeowners looking to make improvements is $220. You're at 30. You look cheap now, don't you? So you have to know your competitors. You have to know what they're carving out. I've got a client in the Midwest that works in the farming sector, and they've got competitors that are covering six states, and their cost per thousand is less. But in their state, they're creaming that competitor. And we've had to reshape our presentation to show that the circulation in their states, that they own that state, nearly 90% of the prospects in that marketplace, and there's no wasted circulation and distribution outside that state.
So in order to calculate that, then you need to sort of equalize the distributions, right? You have to equalize the distribution by whether it's geographic area or focus between your publication and your competitor.
Absolutely, it reminds me of the least common denominator in math class. Do you remember that, Jed?
Sure.
You know, what's the least common denominator? You know, and then that dovetailed into what's the prime number, right? We're doing the same thing here. You have to look for the things that give you an advantage in the way that you get your publication to your readers, or the way they subscribe to it, or the way that you call out. You need a story. You need a story. And this story has to be really meaty. That you have to really understand what the differences are, and that when you're working against publication A, you might be focusing on how large the area that they cover, and you cover tighter. When you focus on publication B, you might be talking about the difference in the demographics. And in publication C, you might be talking about the difference in cost per thousand. And you might say, Ernest, how do I keep track of all that? You have a summary page for each competitor that shows you the strengths and weaknesses. So if somebody says, gee, I'd like to talk, you know, I'm thinking about going to publication B, you open up the tab in your binder and go, bam, great. With your permission, let me tell you what they do well, and let me tell you how we run circles around them. And that's a conversation about cost per thousand. Oh, you want to talk about publication C? Beautiful. Let's talk all about that. In fact, you know that we have the exclusive on six of the most important shows they never attend. They can't. So you have to tailor your presentation to each and every competitor. It is not across the board, you know, do you want to buy an ad with me and hope you get the ad? That is not the case. You have to be nimble, and you have to be chameleon-like, and you have to be flat-out smart and have done your homework. And smart equals preparation. I'm not talking IQ. I'm talking smart enough to listen to this call, to peel back each competitor and go, huh, I got six competitors, and I have been selling my circulation and distribution story straight up against them and not really making any adjustments. Up until the last 2 years, I played nationally ranked tennis. I'm in my 40s. And it was never about how big my game was. I'm a lefty, big serve, love to come into the net, yada, yada. Who cares? You know what it was important? That I tailored my game to beat my opponent. Some players couldn't come into the net. Guess what they got? A lot of short balls. Some were not nimble moving left and right. Guess what they got? Left and right. Some had a weak serve. Guess what they got? I came right in behind it, forced the play. Some wanted to hit it hard. Some wanted to hit it soft. You get my drift. I came out to match my game to my opponent, not to show how big my game was. No, it was to show where their weaknesses were and how I could maximize that. And the same thing happens in sales. And by the way, this is not publication sales. This is sales of any kind. Of any kind in the world. You match up your game, and then you find the weaknesses in each of those competitors. Let's continue. Let's talk about point number four. Okay.
Three, right?
What's that?
Are we on three
Let's
or four?
See. We've got demographics, frequency, cost per thousand. First three.
Okay. Right.
Okay. But Jed, keep me on track, man. Number four, PrinterNet. What? How strong is your print plus web combination? Your PrinterNet strategy is part of your presentation that has to be very strong and powerful. For those of you that have been on prior calls or who work with us directly, you know how intense we are about your website, your revenue on the website, your search engine optimization, and the e-newsletter that ties it together. We've done entire calls related to different aspects of this, okay? But your PrinterNet strategy is key. Be very clear, number five, free versus paid versus controlled. We've been working our way around that through the course of this call already, okay? Each have pros and cons. All right, know what you are, clearly you do. Know what your competitors are, assuming you do and knowing you do, and then you have to match up the strengths and weaknesses. Okay? Paid says, "Hey, somebody paid for it." Yep, that's right. I get Cruising World, which are, you know, big multi-million dollar yachts. And it cost me $12 to get that delivered into my home. I live in a mountain area. I've not spent one nickel in Cruising World in 5 years. So some could argue that I paid for that. Others could argue it was so easy it just came to me. It almost fell in my lap. Controlled, you have the other side, which is you sent it to a designated audience. I'm mailing Jed to your zip code for the following reasons. But you didn't actually ask for it. There's the con to that. Free, on the other side, is free. Some will argue that there's not value. But guess what? I had to put my shoes on to go get that publication. Automotive, real estate, 50-plus, whatever that might be. Okay, I had to do something. I had to be engaged. So here's the key point. Each of those have a strength and weakness. Each of those have pros and cons. And the key is you need to know which ones are yours and how to compete with each competitor. So if you're lining up competing with publication A and they're free, you have one presentation. If you're competing with publication B and they're controlled, you have a second presentation, and you tailor it specifically for them. And if it's paid circulation, you alter it again. Number five, we've talked about audits, distribution audits of, actually six and seven are related because the ability to do distribution audits and audited distribution are six and seven, and that's a very valuable part. Six says go audit. For example, if you've got free publications you're competing with, go audit their circulation. Go audit and see what you can see. You can't do that, obviously, with direct mail. Paid, you can't quite either on the newsstand yet. It's not quite as easy. But on the free, you can positively audit each other. They can audit you, and you can audit them. Audited circulation, point number seven, though, is a very strong part of your presentation, like we talked about earlier. If it's large in your sector and you know that, you need to be competing. If no one's using it and your advertisers would believe that that would be important, then that becomes an asset. Jed, a comment or observation on that?
When you said you can audit your competitors, how would you go about doing that?
Oh, gosh. If we're talking on the free side, and I know we're gently dancing between free and controlled and paid,
right.
On the free side, you could physically, I mean, if you know, for example, that their distribution goes out to every major grocery store in your marketplace geographically,
right.
You can make a point to stop in two, three, four of them, in a week. If you know distribution goes out on Wednesdays, and they used to be in two pockets, now they're in one, or now they're not there, that tells you something else. If you know they go out on Wednesday and they're gone by Friday, that tells you something else. Tells you that they were putting less in. Okay.
Right.
So depending on the scenario, we have different strategies. If that makes sense.
I see.
Okay. And as always, the eighth point here. My favorite three words, with your permission. With your permission. Anytime that we're looking to do a side-by-side comparison of distribution and circulation, you have to say those words. So I would say, Jed, listen, thanks for the opportunity to come talk to you today about my publication. I'm real proud of it. we really have a very powerful distribution and circulation story. I know you mentioned before I came in that you already are advertising in Publication A, and as part of my prep, I can also see that you're in Publication B, and you say, yes, Ernest, I'm in both. Beautiful. I know a lot about both. With your permission, three words, I'd like the opportunity to side-by-side compare and contrast what we do and what they do. Would that be okay?
Right.
Right? Makes
yeah.
sense?
And
with
you,
your permission.
And you find that people are more likely to agree to that if you it comes across as less aggressive if you ask the permission.
Absolutely. If you ask their permission and you do that respectfully, then you will always have the opportunity. And remember that when you do this comparison, that we focus on the beginning of that is, look, if I was going to sit down and show you myself compared to Publication A, the first 5 points I'm going to make of 15 are nothing but praise about Publication A. In fact, why would I tear them down? What I'm really saying, if I come in and say, Jed, let me show you the 5 things you're doing wrong, what have I actually said about you and your buying decision to be in Publication A?
Right, then I'm an idiot, right?
I've said you're stupid.
Right.
Yeah. I said you're dumb. I said you made a bad decision. I said you're a poor leader, right? I'm not going there. I'm going to start by saying there's 15 points I'm going to share. The first 5, let me compliment Publication A. And I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm going to show them a visual tool. The next 5, Jed, I'm going to show you are areas that are question marks. And I'll explain why. And the last 5 are absolutely we do better. Absolutely we do better. Hands down. Okay? And so by asking permission and building that trust, I'm going to be able to navigate that. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Let's weave in a couple of questions here. So we have a question from Anita. And Anita says, how would you go about changing your philosophy on retail rack distribution to match a competitor after you've been saying you have used it previously and didn't find it worked? Is there a newer, better way than we spoke and you listened? Anita, you spoke and we listened. I like that. It's truthful. And quite frankly, you can also comment or make a commentary. The reason we have shifted is because, and I like to use the feel, felt, found. You know, what we had felt was that the circulation did blank and blank, or maybe didn't match our demographics. But upon further review, what we found was that actually is very good, and for these reasons, we targeted these either stores or these geographies or these locations. Okay? So I like to be truthful, and as long as you've put that in place, then I like to crow from the highest mountain, and we'll talk about that in just a second about how to put some of the visuals into your sales presentation. So you spoke, we listened, I like that approach, and then you want to back that up with the reason why. Claire from Florida writes, when you know you are the largest circulator and have the lowest advertising rates, how do you combat competitors who falsely claim larger circulation and charge more? I love that. Claire, the way to do that is you literally say, here is my print run. Clearly, you know, pricing is marked out. Here is my print run. Here are my distribution lists. And if you direct mail, here's my postal receipts. Here's all my information. I challenge my competitor to produce the same. And every single one of you have those opportunities. Postal receipts, distribution lists, and printer invoices. Now, by the way, none of that gets left in a presentation, not when you're presenting face-to-face. I realize it's a little different when you're presenting electronically, but even then, I would not ever, ever be sending out circulation or distribution lists. That is proprietary. Okay? You can send out a postal receipt. That's easy. You can send out a printer invoice. That's easy, okay? But I would not do more than that. Do you have a comment related to this feedback?
You know, the question I've been wanting to ask you the last couple questions, but how do you deal with readership? Do you look at that? You know, because I think oftentimes when publications, especially lower distribution publications, are sort of talking about circulation, they sort of shift the game from circulation to readership.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do you buy into the readership number?
A couple of pieces. I mean, what we know typically about publications is what? 2.5, you know, is the pass along. But that's where we go all the way back to the survey piece. And I advise my clients, let's survey our clients directly. Is it 2.5? Is it 2.8? Is it 3.4? Can we back that up and validate that? Is that 1.8? What do we actually know about publications? Some get passed along more so than others. And we want to know. I've got a couple of clients in a couple of sectors where we're as high as 4, and that comes directly from their readers. Okay? So it depends what sector they're in.
But when you're talking to a potential advertiser about circulation, you're still just speaking specifically about the hard copies printed, right? Do you interchange those two numbers?
Well, let's take that a step further, because we've got those that we print, right? Then we've got the number of e-newsletter readers, actual readers, right? And then we also have unique visitors to our website, and we also have the clicks to the actual ads, right? So we've got a lot of data here. I want to make certain that those that are listening to us here today realize that we're gathering data from all those sources. And then for those of you that also have telephone tracking, you're also picking up the telephone side. So you've got all these data points of both results and ways to measure the velocity of visitors or the velocity of prospects or the velocity of readers. There's many ways to measure that, and that's actually part of our competitive advantage. So, for example, I've got publishers that have, you know, 50,000 publications that go out in print, but then back it up with 25,000 that go out by e-newsletter. Guess what? That's 75,000 readers. You follow me? 75,000, the publication gets picked up by 50, and you add another 25,000, you go, wait a minute, that's directly people requesting this information that comes in electronically.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. No, it does.
Okay. And by the way, that story about the e-newsletter is a massive competitive advantage, an incredible advantage. Was there another follow-through question before we go to the last point here?
No, I'm
yeah.
I'm okay. Thank you.
Are you questioned out?
No. I will say that it's important to be clear. I mean, just having sat on the sort of advertiser side of things.
Yes.
It can be extremely confusing.
Mm-hmm.
when there are some publications out there that sort of interchange those, you know, mm-hmm. interchange the word circulation with readership.
Right.
And I think that as long as you are being clear sort of which metric you're using and which metric you're speaking about, you know, it can be very valuable. But I think that sometimes there's this tendency among some publications to, they don't think their circulation mm-hmm. looks good enough to sort of, you know, throw in readership.
Yeah, it's a valid point. And even the part about the e-newsletter, I literally have my clients take a screen print of their control panel where their distribution lists are managed, you know, for their newsletter, that says 25,010 readers. Boom, we take a screen print of that. Then we match up and show the printer invoice for 50,000. Then we show the postal receipts if it's direct mailed for the 50,000 that went out. So there is a way to define and describe airtight. For those of you who are sales and selling professionals, these are the tools that you need every single day. For those of you who are leading your companies, these are the tools that you have to provide for your team, to give them the tools so there is no confusion as Jed is describing, but more importantly, so that your salespeople can make the distinction in the marketplace. So they can make the distinction so that an advertiser can make a buying decision with all of the tools. And frankly, he or she with the most information wins. And your team has got to be prepared for all of that. And today, as Jed was saying, readership, e-newsletters, websites, unique visitors, publications, readership pass along, it gets a little confusing. And there's only one person in the world who can solve that confusion. Who is it?
People on this call.
Yeah, you, meaning everybody on this call. You, look in the mirror. There's only one person in the world. And if you're confused, I can positively assure you that your competitors are eating your lunch because they're not. Okay? And if they're confused, meaning your competitors, and so are you, you've just confused the marketplace, and none of you are getting the potential of the market. So if you want a way to stand tall in the market, have the specifics and be specific. Let's shift gears on number three. Anita, I'm hoping that that was helpful. We're going to open up the call in a couple of minutes. And Clara, I'm hoping that that was helpful for you as well. The third point about selling your distribution story, what matters most. Here are the six things right out of the gate, and there's many more, but these are the six that you positively want to have. This we're just going to label show and tell. This takes me back to kindergarten. You brought in your favorite toy and you showed everybody, okay? We don't do enough showing. I love Missouri. Missouri is the show me state. That's what you have to think about in the way that you position selling your distribution and circulation story. So number one, you want to be able to show your delivery software and the delivery reports that it's driving. You want to be able to have that sorted, on point number one here, A to Z, by type of location and by zip code, at the very least. It could be zip, it could be city. This goes all the way back to one of the early questions from Paul. You have to have these tools so your salespeople can show this and they can field any question. Number two, tying right back to Anita's point, a pie chart of prime locations. A pie chart is a powerful tool. I sold in my corporate days, and my team sold with pie charts that said there are a total of 100 grocery stores. And because of our distribution, we're in 80% of those, 80%, a visual pie chart. Okay? Or if you rolled in grocery, drug, and convenience stores, there's 300 locations, and we control 280 of them. And my competitor has the smaller pie. Which publication should you be in? By the way, this doesn't apply for everybody, but I love the use of pie charts. The third of 6 points here, 8.5 by 11 photos. When you're making presentations, especially in person, I love large photos that show your distribution or circulation. I also like photos that show your circulation room or circulation department or circulation equipment or your circulation team. Okay, again, we're kind of back to the show me scenario here. For example, if you might say, Ernest, what about when you're making presentations by phone? No problem. Hang them up at your website. Put them behind a password. Okay? And then just bring in prospects and show them the things that you want them to see related to these points. And again, this is not about showing your full delivery and circulation. When you're working online, it's slightly different. You might show them a couple of pages. You don't show them the whole thing because you don't want that scooped up. Also, I love any visuals that point to bonus circulation. For example, shows, alliance partners, additional circulation because of your electronic side. This whole piece about bonus and extra circulation is a biggie, and including if there is a particular event or show where you have prospects or advertisers and readers there, and you're able to explain how competitors are not. I coach my clients to go find those shows, sponsor them, get a written letter about the sponsorship, and part of the sponsorship says, as the publisher, we're going to do A, B, C, D, E, and F. You know what G is? G is the agreement that none of my competitor print publications are there. We remove them from that. You know what that pie chart looks like? Here are the six most important shows in our sector, and the pie chart shows that I control all six of them. Wow. And underneath the pie chart are the number of visitors that they're expecting at each of those shows. Again, depending on your model and your approach, whether this is a B2B or B2C. But I'm hoping you get my drift and I'm lighting up your thoughts. And we're stirring your imaginations here today when you think about how to tie this in. Number five, I really like distribution and circulation on a map where appropriate and when appropriate. Anita, going back to yours, take a map of the marketplace. Show the visuals of where all of those locations are, okay? And be able to show a visual is very important. You can also do the same electronically. This does not apply for every publication, but for most it does. And the last point is that if you have any exclusive agreements with racking companies, ADC, Distributech, if you have any circulation exclusives, get that in writing and use that as part of your sales presentation. Don't just talk about where your circulation or distribution is, but talk about the companies that provide it for you if that's a competitive advantage. Okay? So all of these strategies work in most cases. They just don't work all the time for everybody. You have to pick and choose on these visual tools which makes sense for you.
And there's so many neat tools that are available out there now, mm-hmm. You know, in many cases for free. I mean, even Google Maps, you know, you can really, you know, if that applies to your type of distribution story, you know, to be able to really pinpoint and show exactly where it is, it can really be sort of fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perfect. It's not a question of lacking of tools today, Jed. It's a question of picking the tools
right,
and competing
right.
aggressively, right?
Right.
You know, and matching up our strengths to the strengths of our competitors, and then conversely, clearly explaining what the weaknesses are.
Right.
Okay? And every competitor, I'm hoping all of you took from the middle of this call, every competitor has strengths and weaknesses. You cannot use the same vanilla approach for each competitor. Some are vanilla, some are chocolate, some are strawberry, okay? Some are caramel. Every competitor, the moment a buyer talks about competitor A, you put on one hat. Competitor B, the second hat. And you're constantly shifting back and forth. As for those of you that have worked with me, you know all about media summaries and media comparisons. We've done entire calls related to that along the way. That is really the best tool that you tie all of this together, your sales advantage, your circulation and distribution. As far as I'm concerned, if I've got a publication and a media comparison in front of me, that's all I need. That's it. Okay? A media kit is a bonus on top of that. All right, Jed. My gosh, we've covered a lot of ground. Let me just pause right here, and then we'll talk about a next step here, okay?
Great.